Tonight, for another opportunity to get into your wonderful word, how we reverence your word. You've lifted it even above your very name. It is anointed, Lord. It is perfect for our situation. That's why we can have joy in your presence. That's why we can rejoice in you no matter what we may be experiencing in this life, because we always go back to your word and recount it and rehearse it before you. We always go back to it and meditate in it, because there is where we find our answers. And we are serious about the conversion of our souls. And so, Father, we thank you for what you open up to us by your word. Let the Holy Spirit teach us and help us with the subject matter so that we can be preserved blameless in spirit, soul, and body. And we'll give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verses 7 through around 14, I believe. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 19, starting with verse 7. Are you ready to begin? It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the whole person. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and bright, enlightening the eyes." Hallelujah. "The reverent fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even than much fine gold. They are sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, reminded, illuminated, and instructed. And in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his lapses and errors? Clear me from hidden and unconscious faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be blameless, and I shall be innocent and clear of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my firm, impenetrable rock and my Redeemer." Now, if you will go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I don't know about you, but I like this idea of being blameless before God. You know, there's so much to that. And I know that the work that Jesus has done, and we don't ever want to lose sight of this, the work that the Lord Jesus has done at Calvary has put us in a blameless place before God. And he sees us through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a fact. That is a reality. Amen. And the work that needs to be done in our lives here, however, is a work of the Holy Spirit that enables us to work more completely with God in our calling and in our election, in our existence here as believers. Even though we are blameless before God through the redemptive work of our Savior, we will yet be judged at the judgment seat of Christ for the actions that we've taken, deeds we've done, thoughts that we have thunk, and everything else that we've done in this life. That's going to happen, right? You know, and that's going to happen in light of what we know. Because God is a righteous God, a righteous judge. And so our judgment will be based upon the knowledge that we've received, the instruction that the Holy Spirit has brought to us. Amen? See, the scripture talks about it, and I won't go to it right now. But in the Gospels, the scriptures talk about how that there be some that will be judged that will be beaten. Might not like this terminology, but it's in the Bible. They will be beaten with fewer stripes. They'll be beaten with fewer stripes. Now, that's just to give you a picture of judgment. And I believe the reason that they'll be beaten with fewer stripes is because they are being judged on the level of the knowledge that they receive. Right?
That's right.
See? The reason why America is so pivotal in the history of this world is because God chose us and raised us up to be of aid to the nation of Israel and to other nations around the world, to help bring them to a place of freedom and democracy, even though democracy isn't perfect, theocracy is, but to bring them to a place where they could choose to serve God and not be under the tyranny of dictators and all those kinds of things. And he primarily brought that about through our nation being founded by men who had a good concept of the Bible and righteousness. That's how our laws came about. You can go right back to the scriptures and you can find the root for every law that we have on the books. Except for some that judges are making now. Except for some of those that they're trying to force things on us that is not biblical, not good, not righteous. So, you know, the judgment that you and I will be judged with would be based upon the knowledge that we've received. And that knowledge is good enough whether or not you acted on it or not as, you know, sufficient information that can be used in bringing judgment about. So I like the idea of being blameless. You understand? Now, I'm speaking from that standpoint. I like the idea of being blameless. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm just like you. I'm growing in the knowledge of the Lord, and we are being perfected. Yeah, I've got a lot of perfection yet to attain to. Hallelujah. A lot of it. But I'm willing. I'm willing. I want it. Even with the things that I face in my life personally, I'm still willing. I want it, you know. I have to work my way through this thing, you know, just like you do. We have to work our way through. And with the help of the Lord, we'll make it. And it would be wonderful if God grants us time. It would be wonderful if God grants the body of Christ time for even a remnant to attain unto it as Paul was seeking it. It would be wonderful if God would grant us the time. It would be wonderful if God would just look upon us and say, you know, they are attending to the word that can get them there, Jesus. Let's give them some more time. I would love that. I know everybody wants to go home to be with the Lord at some point. But there are just certain things that God desires to bring about that I want to be a part of before I go. I really would. You know, granted, you know, this afternoon I might not have felt that way, but now I'm in the anointing. Hallelujah. I'm getting my heart right with God as I speak. Oh, Lord, I just got to make it real. Amen. You just got to make it real. I love what old Robert said one time when he was talking about how he felt like he didn't put it into quite these words. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but he sure did tickle me when he said it. He said, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. I believe I could put any devil under my feet that comes against me. I'm just ready to do your will, Lord. But consider I haven't got out of bed yet. Amen. Hallelujah. He's probably chuckling about that up there now, you know, with the Lord. But that's the way it is. That's really the way it is. You know, God gives us all this wonderful information, and we still got to deal with us, you know, and overcome these frail things that we go through and all this junk, you know, and to get it on with the Lord. And he understands our human, I don't want to call it plight, because he gave us a good life. He understands our human condition and how we live and what we go through. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, where did we stop in Psalm 119? Verse 20. My heart is breaking with the longing that it has for your ordinances and judgments at all times. I wonder how many of you followed my instructions, my suggestions, from the last time that we were together, and you began to profess that your heart was breaking and longing for the ordinances and the judgments of God. I wonder How many of you made a practice of that and said that a few times? And the reason I say that is because in the natural, we don't. Our heart isn't breaking for the ordinances and longing for the ordinances and judgments of God. Not in the natural. So now if that's going to take place, that means that I have to say it. And why, Pastor? Because I have authority over what goes on in me. You have authority over what goes over and comes to pass in your life. You have authority over it. And you can see that, you know, your life goes in the direction that God wants it to go by simply taking the knowledge that God gives you, putting it in your mouth, and speaking it over your life. You can ensure that you'll get there by agreeing with what God has said about you, what he said to you. You got to say it. You have to say it. That's the way you get yourself out from under any type of oppression, folks. Whatever it might be. Whatever oppression may come against you from the enemy, you can come out from under it by simply opening your mouth. I never will forget when God first began to teach me that I had authority over the devil. When he first began to teach me that I had authority over the devil, I was not in a good church. I wasn't in a church that really taught the word. It wasn't a word of faith church. I was brand new at this. And he taught me by experience. As I began to have an engagement and interchange with demonic forces that was in a home that I had rented where I was living. And he began to reveal to me that there was a couple of spirits in there. And the experience that I had was that I got whooped. I ended up on the floor and the devil had my arm pinned behind my back saying, "Now what are you going to do? I got you. What can you do about it?" You know? And I realized that the reason why that happened is because I didn't do what God told me to do previous to that. If I had followed his instructions, then the enemy could not have lorded it over me in that situation. And I won't go into the whole story. I've shared it in other series. But the fact of it was that God was using that to teach me that my part that I played in it was what got me the victory over the devil, because he's already done everything that needed to be done. He's not coming back down here to fight no devils for me. He's not coming back down here to fight any devils for you. When you call upon the name of the Lord, he doesn't show up to fight for you. He shows up to show you what to do. And if you take the action that he tells you to take in his name, Satan will flee. He will flee from you. James said, if you will submit yourself humbly before God, right? You know, that the enemy would flee before you seven different ways. He'll get out of sight and out of mind. He'll get out of your presence if you will do it God's way. Amen. So you've got something to do about whether or not you get over there into that flow of working and agreeing with the Spirit of God and doing the things that God would have you to do and having a victorious life and having the provision that you need from the Lord and being able to do whatever. You've got more to do with that than anybody else. See? You have to start saying what you want to be doing instead of sitting around looking at yourself and feeling sad over yourself because I'm just not what I ought to be. Well, you never will be as long as you say that. You'll never be what you ought to be as long as you say that. You've got to stop saying, "I'm just not what I ought to be." And you need to start saying, "I'm becoming and I'm making progress every day what I ought to be. With the help and the grace of God, I'm making progress, and every day I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. I'm conforming to his image. Little by little, I'm becoming more and more like him." Hallelujah. You have to say it. You don't sit around and be moping and groping over where you've been and the failures that you've made. You have to do something about it, and that's by saying. Amen. Well, that's a good message all in itself. So let's go on to verse 21. It says in verse 21, "You rebuke the proud and arrogant, the accursed ones who err and wander from your commandment." So now, being prideful is wandering away from God's commandments. It's just not a look. You know, that's kind of a shallow definition of pride, isn't it? When you just say, "Well, that person carries himself in such a prideful manner," just because of the way they look. That's a shallow definition, isn't it? Let's see, God gives you a better definition. When you wander away from his commandments, doing your own thing, you're in pride. I like God's commandment better. I like his definition of this better. Because I need to see this. I need to understand truly what God dislikes. And he hates pride, and he hates arrogance and a haughtiness about people. He hates that. And see, we've been looking at it because it's been displayed in prideful ways, fleshly, before us in different venues, you know, movies and pictures, and in the way that people carry themselves, like they're arrogant and all that. But here we are in the church, and we see all of these people walking around like they're as humble as anybody can be. And yet they're not paying attention to what God is telling them to do, and they're just as proud as anybody else that you've recognized in the flesh. Just as proud. Amen. Christians know how to put on a humble face. Yeah. You know, you ladies know how to comb your hair back and look all humble when you come to church and go home and let it all hang out. That's right. You know, we've got this sense about showing up and showing ourselves to be servants of the Lord. We have that about us in the church. There's lots of ways that we as Christians are hypocrites that we're not willing to acknowledge. We're hypocritical, and we're not willing to acknowledge it. Remember, we were talking about having the Holy Spirit come and show us our lapses and our errors and presumptuous sins that we had no idea of, and we were welcoming the Holy Spirit to come and give us that mindset, help us to understand and see what we've been doing, how we've been carrying ourselves. Have you been thinking about that? All right. Now, it's not good enough for him to just show you. You got to take action. You have to do the right thing. You have to turn away from those presumptuous and sins and those lapses. You have to turn away, you know, from those things that scripture is pointing out. Verse 22, take away from me reproach and contempt, for I keep your testimonies. Take away from me reproach and contempt. Now, God will do that if we're keeping his testimonies, right? See, he'll do those things. He'll work for us if we'll put the word of God first in our lives. See, you just can't expect God to just do something for you just because you ask him. That's not scriptural. Everything that we ask God for or about, he always gives us information in return, and it requires some type of obedience on our part. Always. Always. See? And that's the way of God, see? You know, he's, you know, the first great obedience that you and I gave ourselves to was saying yes to Jesus, accepting him as our Lord and Savior. That was the greatest and most significant act of obedience that we ever performed in all of our humanity at that time. Now we have to follow the same pattern throughout the rest of our walk with God. God's not going to change. The Holy Spirit's going to come to you and bring conviction just like he did to get you saved. And he gave you the grace and the faith for the salvation experience. He also gives you the grace and the faith for whatever your life is supposed to be like as you walk in the Spirit, not fulfilling the desires of the heart, of the flesh, of the mind, and, you know, and the will and the emotions, but following in obedience after God. And he calls us sons of God because we do that. You see, there's a response on our part. See? If we did, what does the scripture say? If you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you even the desires of your heart. Yes. If you delight yourself in him. Well, you can't say you delighted yourself in the Lord if you're not doing what he says. There's no way that you can say that you delight in God if you're not walking in obedience to him. Right? So these are reasons why there has to be a judgment seat of Christ. These are reasons why there has to be one. See, because we have many believers that are not willing to follow through completely in their service to God. They're thinking about themselves, doing what they want to do, And all they want God to do is to aid them in what they want. And they don't want to serve him, allowing him to be master and to be Lord. Hallelujah. And that's just the truth of it. See? And this is what brings conflict in the body of Christ and causes people to be uneasy and to want to move around and find a more comfortable setting to be in. Because when the Lord begins to read your mail like that, you know, when he begins to, you know, on your computer, when you delete something, it goes to a trash collecting mechanism. It's still there, isn't it? Now, you can go there and get rid of it, but it's there in case you need to go look at it. Right? Where do you think all these ideas come from? I mean, you know, behind all of these witty inventions that everybody comes up with, God can use every bit of it because he can use it to help us to see more in a practical way what we're doing. We dismiss things that God tells us and the conviction of the Holy Spirit that comes to us. We dismiss it from our thoughts and our mind. But go to your computer and it'll tell you that you got two components in your trash that's still there. And you can bring them up. And you can look at them and reread them, you know, and look into it. And that's where the conviction of the Holy Spirit is. You know, you might dismiss what he's saying to you, but he hadn't forgotten it. He hasn't forgotten it. It's still right there. Yeah? And we can't make any progress in our growth and getting closer to God if we don't take care of what is right there before us. You got to take care of that. You just can't omit it. That's a sin of omission to just dismiss what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and not act on it. That's omitting to obey what the Holy Spirit has said to you. Sometimes we like to forget it and move on. Well, God, do I really have to do that? Can't we just move on to something else? Nope. Nope, can't just move on to something else. This is important. You may not be able to see it, but if you don't give yourself up in obedience to God in this matter, then it's going to really mess up something else down the line that I really want to do in your life. It's going to interrupt what I'm trying to bring about in your life that you're really going to enjoy and be blessed by. Amen. See, everything that God does, he does, you know, what does the scripture say? He does it all things well. He does all things well. So he's a complete working God. Aren't you glad you don't have a God that just omits stuff? I mean, he could just omit to give you breath next morning. Just omit. Just forget about you for that. Whoops, I forgot about such and such. Oh, get him some air quick. What if he omits, you know, your body? The Bible says that you're marvelously and wondrously made. What if he omits the grace that's needed in your body for it to operate like it's supposed to be, and you no longer have the use of an arm or a leg or an eye or your speech center? Aren't you glad that God is a gracious, loving, kind, benevolent, long-suffering God? Because he could do that. He could do that, you know. And he's the boss. He's the boss. I mean, he created us. But he doesn't, because he's a loving God. And even though we might be rebellious and doing all kind of craziness, you know, we got our functions and we're able to go and we're breathing and living our lives. And we never think about those kinds of things. Well, I'm glad that he's not like that, because I wouldn't want to serve a God that punished me that way. Would you? Then I'd serve him out of fear. I'd be getting up every morning checking everything, trying to make sure everything worked if I served a God like that. Yeah, I mean, it'd be like go down the checklist every morning. Both eyes work good. You know, both nostrils got intake. You know, that would be some serious stuff, you know. I don't want to serve a God that treats me like that. I like it because he treats me like I'm one of his. He talks to me. He talks to me about me and about what he desires in my life. He speaks to me. See? And the only time God will have to ever use circumstances or things out here that are tangible in the world is because we don't listen. When we don't listen, then things begin to get haphazard. Amen. I didn't know I was going to go here, but evidently somebody needs this. Amen. Things begin to happen out there. I mean, things fall apart on you. It can be brand new. It'll fall apart. Amen. It doesn't make any difference whether it's new. You know, I don't care if it is new. I don't want to use the warranty. I want the thing to work. Amen. I don't like inconvenience. I got naps to take. Hallelujah. I'll be interrupting my nap over no sin. Come on, I'm going to live right so I can get my naps. Hallelujah. You thought I was going to bring out something. I got all the other stuff too, but that's important to me too. Hey, amen. That back porch is precious to me. It's precious. Well, let's go on. Verse 23. Princes also sat and talked against me. But your servant meditated on your statutes. Now, here's another little key. Because sometimes believers, when they find out that somebody is saying something against them, it just messes them up. It messes with them. They don't like it. Don't like to be talked about. You know? And I'm going to tell you really, the reason why some people feel that way and they don't like it when somebody talks about them is because they're self-righteous. Really, that's the honest to God truth. Your attitude and getting upset because somebody's talking about you is because you're self-righteous. Yeah. And so you elevated yourself to a place that's above them. And you don't even know the estimation that God has in his heart toward the person that's talking about you. You really don't. You haven't asked him. You usually tell God, get them devils, Lord. You know, Jesse Duplantis says like this. He said, I found this in the scripture. He said, I don't like it. And he said, vengeance is mine. He said, no, God, you take too long. He said, you take too long. I want vengeance to be mine. See? And that's the way we are. See, that, you know, you may not be quite like that in that area, but you've got that in the other areas of your life. You're right. We all do. See? And that's what we carry. But we don't really know what God thinks about that person. In the scripture, you know as well as I do that God has shown grace to people that were utterly wicked. And he did it in Ahab's life. He did it in Ahab's life. He spoke through the prophet to Ahab, read his mail, and told him what was going to happen. That wicked rascal started fasting. He started fasting, doing sacrifices, and God said, look at that. Will you look at that? Look at, he told it to the prophet. He said, did you see how he humbled himself? He said, because of that, I won't let it happen in his lifetime. I'll do it in his son's lifetime. Wow. I mean, God is a forgiving, benevolent father. I mean, Ahab was one of his, even though he was serving Baal. He was still one of his. You know? I love this God that we serve. Wow, I love him. I do. I love him. You know? I will tell you like it is if I need to. But that doesn't mean that I don't love you and that I have unforgiveness in my heart towards you. And God taught me to be that way because that's the way he is. That's the way he is. He wants you to get it right. And he'll even spank you, but he still loves you. Yeah, yeah. He chastens those he loves. So get ready. Get ready. If you need it, it's coming because he loves you. Amen. Boy, look at the people getting excited about that. Verse 24. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Now, I'm going to give you something here probably that some of you may have already be doing this. But this would be great for you to do if you would highlight every one of these areas in Psalm 119. If, you know, maybe you need to choose a particular kind of highlighter. Like, you know, I use yellow a lot. because you can see through it real well, but because we're talking about a confession that leads us to a promise, you might want to highlight it in a very light green, like a, you know, a St. Patrick's Day green, real bright, you know, and then you'll recognize, I need to confess that. And so every time you run across one of those, you know, your testimonies are also my delight and my counselors, Lord. You want to make that confession for yourself because that's who you want to be. That's where you want your heart to be. That's the attitude you want to have. Amen? So that would be a great thing to do, you know, and use that color because you want it to be a color that says to you, this is a confession of faith on my part because this is what I want to be. Amen? I think that would help. All right. Verse 25, my earthly life cleaves to the dust. Revive and stimulate me according to your word. So can your life get into it? Can your earthly life get into a place where it's cleaving to the dust? I mean, that is a very dramatic statement, but that's talking about you being utterly sick, beaten down. I mean, that's a bad place to be. But he still hasn't forgotten about the word of God, the testimonies of the Lord. See, now, I know we hit on this in several different ways, but it's always worth bringing up. No matter what you face in life, you've got to get back to the thing that will always bring you deliverance. You got to get back to the thing. I mean, I'm so much into this. I mean, my wife and I are so much into this that we do certain things based on what could happen. Right? Because I can't control everything that's going on in the world, neither can you. If you could control everything that's going on in the world, then there wouldn't have been a tsunami in Japan. Gas prices sure wouldn't be as high as they were. Food prices wouldn't be as high as they were. You'd be able to buy the things that you want for pennies if you could control it like you want it. Yes, you would. And you would have everything that you wanted. Right? But see, now you cannot control everything that's going on in the world. A lot of people seem to think they can by running their mouths, but they're just opinionated. They still ain't getting nothing done. Amen? Over a sausage biscuit and a cup of coffee at McDonald's. They're just tearing the world up. Yeah. My wife told me, she said, now when you retire from that secular job of yours, some of those people that you've been wanting to reach, that's going to be a good way to do it. You go out there with the retired crowd. They won't come to your church, so you go to them. Sit down and have your coffee and breakfast with them and just start talking. I'm not going to run them off because they're addicted. They're addicted to their breakfast place. Right? So they're not going to run. I'm not going to run them off. Now, they might call Ronald and tell him not to let me come over there. Oh, if they can get a hold of him. Amen. He's always running every time you see him acting a fool, so I don't think they can get a hold of him. But here, if your life is cleaving to the dust, man, it sounds like you can't. You don't know. Depending upon, I mean, you think about it. You say, well, I'm a person of faith. Why should my life be cleaving to the dust? The Apostle Paul was a man of faith. Why was he stoned to death and left for dead? Now don't shout me down now. Come on. I mean, why did they have to stand around him over in midnight hours and pray over him and see him be raised up from the dead? And there's no greater man of faith than the Apostle Paul, folks, if you could, other than the Lord Jesus himself. Come on now. Amen? Yes. All right. You know, and then why would a man of faith have to be let down the side of a wall in a basket? Why? Because he's doing something for God. And he got to keep doing it. So this is a good time to run. Amen. In this case, God said run. In the other case, he said take a few licks. Amen. I mean, this life is an exciting life, I tell you. It's exciting. And you know what? you ought to learn to hear God's voice, because you need to know what to do in those situations. You need to know how that you can give the right kind of testimony to your adversary. If you need to turn the other cheek, and that's the testimony that God wants you to give to your adversary, you need to be able to hear and discern by the Spirit of God. That's what you need to do. If you need to duck and run, then you need to know to do that too. You need to know that by the Spirit, not because you're afraid, but by the Spirit. I'm not motivated by fear. I am motivated by the Word of God. What does God want me to do in this situation? And see, we don't realize the reasons why we need to get close to God. We don't really realize it. The generation that we're living in right now, sweetheart, the generation that we're living in right now, even in America, Christians on a whole can find themselves running from the United States government, because our government is working toward accepting Sharia law. They're working in that regard. There are proponents in our government in Washington that are working to get Sharia law enacted in the United States of America, to get hate laws passed so that I can't preach and tell you that there's one way to God, and that's only through Jesus Christ. Muhammad isn't the way. Buddha isn't the way. You know, and all of this other stuff. You know, they're trying to enact laws that will keep me from saying that. And if I say it, they put a padlock on my church, hunt me down, throw me in prison. Right? And start using the tenets of Sharia law to torture me. You know, some preachers no doubt will get their tongues cut out and get their limbs cut off. It's happened in other countries. See, but now what we want to struggle over is paying our tithes. That's what we want to struggle over. We want to struggle over first fruits. We just have a problem with that pastor talking about money. I think he should cut his tongue out. I'm being a little facetious here, but I'm making my point on or not, you know. I would say, shut up. Well, the Bible says if you have that kind of attitude in your heart towards someone, you're a murderer. You're the same as a murderer. So what's cutting the tongue out? It's not killing somebody. So you would agree with Sharia law. You would agree. I know that's extreme, but we don't realize where we're going in the world today. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm staying in good physical shape in case I have to run. See, I've looked at the police force and some of these other people, and they're all out of shape. They ain't going to catch me. I'm going to keep preaching as long as I can, brother. I'm going to run through that troop and leap over that tummy. That tummy ain't going to be nothing but like one of them springboards for me. I'm going to run right up on him. I'm going to bounce off his stomach right over the rest of them and keep running. I tell you what, if the Antichrist want to be effective, he better start getting his people in shape. See, he don't know what he's doing. The devil is crazy. The devil wants to raise up an army against us, but he's destroying his own people. Eat the cheeseburger. Eat the French fries. Eat the fried food, the deep fried food. Have what you want. You can have whatever. And they're all killing each other. And they're all out of shape, grease running out of their mouths. They can't catch nobody. Antichrist is just, he's stupid. He don't know. I mean, the devil's kingdom is messed up, man. It's messed up. No wonder God is speaking to the body of Christ about what they're eating. And we have ministers that say we shouldn't tell anybody what to eat. That we do. Some good ministers that are saying it. But they haven't seen everything. They really haven't seen everything. They're good in the areas where they're teaching, but they're trying to get over into something that they ought to leave alone. Because, I mean, you know, you can have faith that you can eat anything. You really can. You know, and you can live a long life, and you can look like Humpty Dumpty and live your days out. You really can. But I don't want to be like Eli and be heavy, fall off the wall and break my neck. Huh? You know that those boys was forcing them people to give them the best portion of the meat at the temple. And the reason why Eli wasn't as strong coming against them like he should is because the Bible says he was a heavy man, so he was eating what they were bringing. Right? He kept eating what they were bringing. And the boys saying, well, look at you. You eating what we bring. You ain't complaining about all of these, you know, nice portions of meat. You gaining more weight than all of us, so that we ain't paying you no attention. They just kept right on doing what they were doing. Amen? Well, you know, that's the truth of it. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens, right? Look at verse 26. I have declared my ways and opened my griefs to you. And you listen to me. Teach me your statutes. Now God allows that. I saw a scripture. Oh, man, I tell you, I saw a scripture today. I didn't know I was going to use this. Let's see if I can find it. But I did. I saw a scripture today because I opened my griefs to the Lord. You may not. Maybe you're afraid to. Maybe you shouldn't because you ain't been walking with him like you should. You know, I wouldn't complain too much if you're not too close to the Lord. Huh? No, I wouldn't. You better keep your opinion to yourself if you're not walking with the Lord the best of your ability. Right? Because I don't know how he responds to that. I don't. So I think, but you see, this is something that he said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, in verse, the latter part of verse 11. He said, I will not give my glory to another, permitting the worshipers of idols to triumph over you. So if the worshipers of Satan and of this world system triumph over us, it would be as though God was allowing them to do it, which means he would be giving his glory to them. You see that? But you see, and on the other side of it, you see, God has really showing the world that he's given his glory to the body of Christ, right? And he's keeping the glory on himself because the body of Christ is where the wealth is. The body of Christ is where the wealth is. Yeah. See, our Christian television stations exceed the world's radio and TV stations in getting the gospel out. We've got more gospel avenue going out than all of those people that own all of that oil that are Muslims. And we're reaching more people. We got all these satellites up in the air, and they don't. They're using satellites to broadcast, but they're not able to penetrate and do the things that we're doing because the wealth and the glory is with the body of Christ. Yeah, yeah. Well, let's see here. Let's see. Let me find this other scripture. Maybe you don't want me to share that one with you. You might get in trouble. So let's go back to Psalm 119. He said, I have declared my ways and opened my griefs to you, and you listen to me. Teach me your statutes. So the person that declares their ways and opens up their griefs to the Lord, as far as the writer of this psalm is concerned, their attitude is, Lord, you have blessed me and given me favor to talk to you this way, but you know that I know that your statutes will give me the answers that I need. And the answer that you give to me is going to be a correct answer. And even though I feel strongly about what I'm saying and how I feel about this situation, you're God and I'm not. Amen? You're God and I'm not. And so I'm open, Lord. I got it off my chest. But now I'm listening now. Now speak to me, Lord. And I'm ready to repent of anything I need to repent of if I've kind of got off track here. But this is the relationship that we have. You will let me speak to you. See, that's what the Bible is talking about when it says that we can approach the throne of grace, right, and be bold about going there. Wow. Be bold about going there. Now, let me tell you something. That boldness comes through relationship. You hear what I'm saying? To have boldness to go before God like that comes through relationship. A person that's slacking their relationship with God don't dare talk to God in certain ways. They just don't do it. They're afraid. You know? They see it as irreverent. Now, I may be going somewhere with this that might be a little strange for you, you know? You mean to say that you could talk to God strongly and it won't be irreverent? It depends upon your relationship with God. Yeah, doesn't it? It depends upon where you are with God. Everybody can't do it. No, sir. Oh, no. You'd be sleeping in that bed with one eye open at night. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I better move on. Verse 27. Make me to understand the way of your precepts. Make me to understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on and talk of your wondrous works. Now, have you noticed that in the place of business, wherever you spend your time throughout the day, that you have very few people that really get caught up in talking about the wondrous works of God? Have you noticed that? Come on now. To be honest, there's a whole lot of other talk going on, and a lot of it has to do with good relationships between you and the people that you spend most of your time around. Just nurturing that relationship, because that relationship you want to stay intact. And so your conversations are pretty much directed in that manner. But think about it. Someone who is occupied in talking about the wondrous works of the Lord, just caught up in it. You just know that when you go to talk to them, they got something fresh to tell you about the wondrous works of God. You just don't find that, do you? Maybe they're not praying for the Lord to make them understand the way of his precepts. See, if we understand the way of the precepts, now, see, it's one thing to say, this is a precept. I just read the word of God. Now, Lord, make me to understand the way of that. Make me understand the way of it. So now I'm engaging with the word of God, and I'm expecting God to give me some revelation into the way of the word of God. I want to see, I need to understand the way of the precepts of God, the way of revelation, the way of the biblical concepts that come to me. I need to understand that, Lord. Help me to understand the way. Help me to understand the way of your precepts. And then he says, so shall I meditate on and talk of your wondrous works. Right? So if I get the revelation, if I begin to understand the way of his precepts, then I'm going to meditate on the way of his precepts. Then I'm not going to be in a position where I can't do anything but talk about his wondrous works. Right? Man, you have to talk about it. Because you've come to understand the way of the precept. Right? Am I losing anybody here now? You see what I'm saying? See? You need to understand. I need to understand the way of those precepts. See, because they accomplish something. If I get a hold of that, I'm going to engage with the word of God more often, right? I'm going to use it more. It's going to be on ready in my heart for me to use in life situations and circumstances, whatever they may be. Because I understand that the way of the precepts are going to lead me to the wondrous works of God. And I will see the wondrous works of God in those areas that I'm concerned about. Every one of you have a list of things that you're concerned about. You know, I could name off some and you say, yeah. You know, those are concerns. If God reveals to you the way of his precepts, which are the answer to those concerns, right? And you begin to look at the way of those precepts. You begin to meditate into what he's revealing to you about that. See, we're too flippant in America. We pray about something, just flip the word out there and leave it. Just, we know what the word says. We just flip it out there and we just leave it dangling out there. And we say we're having faith in God. Honey, you've prayed some prayers that you don't even remember what you prayed. You won't even know when the answer comes. Yeah. You won't even know when the answer comes because you done forgot about it. Because now your emotions are not engaged and you don't feel bad. What you laughing for, Pastor? Because I'm a little crazy. Just a little crazy, you know. But really, I mean, a lot of times the things that move us the most is what disturbs us the most. And there's other things that's just as serious. We're not exhibiting any emotions at all about some of these other things are just as serious. We just don't want to think about it. We think that if we just don't think about it, it'll go away. No, it won't. Just because you don't see that roach anymore that you couldn't catch don't mean that he's not still in the house. He got a family. They're producing. Amen. We better go on a raid. Hallelujah. I hope I'm making sense here. I'm not trying to confuse you here. But there is a way that's involved when it comes down to the word of God, to the precepts, to the instruction that God gives you. There is a way that we need to understand. We need to understand. We need to recognize it and understand it. And submit to the way of those precepts. See, that's a part of us. Maybe we haven't talked about this before, but really that's a part of our getting our answer to prayer. A lot of us, we want to pray and be separate from commitment and devotion to God and being obedient to God. We just want to pray using his word like he's going to act independent of my commitment, my devotion, and my loyalty. No, he's not. He's not going to do that. My whole being is involved in this thing. God's going to act on, I mean, David said it many times. Well, Nehemiah said it. We were jokingly talking about that the other day. Nehemiah got to a point, you know, where he was acting with righteous indignation. He whooped up on some people that wasn't doing right because they wasn't keeping the command of God. He threw rocks at some, ran them off. And he told God, he said, God, I have been righteously indignant for you. I have been upset on your account. These people ain't living right. And I got on them. And I ran some of them from the temple. They were carrying stuff on the Sabbath. And I whooped their behind and told them, you get home. You know? And God honored that and said, you're right. Thank you. I would have done it, but you did it for me. Hallelujah. So you see, your righteousness is your loyalty. Your righteousness is your commitment. Your righteousness is your being willing to follow God in obedience to the way of the precept, not just independently living over here and using the word of God over here. Boy, that's good teaching. Lord have mercy. I think some of my forefathers' anointing must have fell on me in here tonight. Dear God. I mean, that's awesome, folks. Then we get to recognize and enjoy his wondrous works. Amen. In our personal lives, right? In our lives corporately as a church, we're all better off if we pay attention to this. And all of us together. I mean, you know what? I would hate to be a part of a church and stand up in judgment before God. And you know, I don't know how the judgments are going to work, but I don't doubt that God, Jesus, might not do this. I mean, we'd be judged, right? We'll be judged individually and give account of God for our lives. I'm not so sure that, because the Lord believes in partnership. I mean, he taught, this principle came out, seed, faith, and all that stuff came out of the word. Partnership came out. Paul said, thank God for you people helping me when nobody else would. Right? Now, I would hate to be in heaven. And after all of the judgment of individuals is done, and then God said, okay, now, Jesus, judge the churches. All right, let's see. Straight Paths Outreach Ministries Incorporated of Westminster, South Carolina. Would all of you please come? And then all of us truck up there, and we're all seated as a congregation before God. And him being the righteous and just God that he is, he looks at you. And he looks at the account of your obedience. Because, see, God recognizes the leadership in the church. Because there's an angel of the Lord that's behind me and backing me, or we wouldn't still be here. There is an angel appointed over every ministry. Right? And why do some people get in trouble with fighting with their pastors and all kinds of stuff like that? They're smitten. They don't know that they're coming against God. And the angel of the Lord, the Bible says, when the Lord was talking to Joshua, he said, you be sure that you obey that angel of the Lord, because he will not have compassion on you. Ooh, do you feel that? Ooh, Jesus. Y'all ready to close? That kind of anointing right there, me like, can we close now, Pastor? But I would hate to be in the congregation and the Lord comes over and he's going to be accurate, sweetheart. He's going to be accurate. He's not going to cut any slack. And he says, sweetheart, you heard the pastor on such and such a day. You knew what your responsibility was in that offering. And you knew what was trying to be accomplished. They came up short because of your disobedience. I was not able to get done what I wanted to do because you did not obey and take the word of your pastor as a word from God and do your best to fulfill it. Because ultimately, that's what it's all about. It's about what God is trying to accomplish through vision that he's given to visionaries, church planters, apostles and prophets, teachers, evangelists. He's the one that's given them the vision. And it is a complimentary, wondrous blessing for anybody to be planted in church with someone who has vision, because God has deemed that you are worthy and would and should work with that vision to make sure that it comes to pass. And a lot of people want to dismiss that and say, well, God can do anything he wants to do and he don't need us and he don't need our money. That's a lie. That ain't in the Bible. One of the best examples we have of it is when he said, can I destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around it and not tell my friend Abraham? Well, Abraham didn't go down there and cast no coals off of his fireplace on place. Did he? He didn't cast no hot coals on him. But God said, because he's my man, and he's going to witness it. He's going to understand what happens. And besides that, he got relatives down there. I need to tell him. So that shows you right there that God does everything that he does through us. Man, I hate to leave you with such a heavy note on that. But, you know, that's where it led us to. That's where that word led us to. We have a responsibility. And that's why we need to know the way of his precepts. Know the way of it. See? And loyalty, commitment, and obedience to what he says opens the door to know the way. Opens the door so you can know the way. Because the way cannot help but reveal itself to you when you're walking in that kind of love for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then you know you're going to see some wondrous works. You're going to see God do miraculous things. And people will look at you, even with a small group, and say, how in the world did y'all, were you able to do that? Honey, you just get in the spirit of this. You get in the spirit of it. It ain't got nothing to do whether you're retired, whether you don't have income, and anything like that. You get in the spirit of agreement, and the Bible says that God gives seed to the sower. He does it. He'll make sure you've got seed to sow, but you've got to agree with his way. You've got to agree with his way. Why should he bring money into your hands if you're not willing to be obedient to him? Why? There's no reason for you. Money follows purpose. See? Money follows purpose. You know, I never will be broke again. Why? Because I have purpose. God has a purpose for me.
I'm fulfilling my purpose by being here, doing what I'm doing. I'll never be broke again in my life. Never will be poor. I like just knowing that I'll never be poor again. Never. I'll never be without. I don't care what the world does. As long as I stay connected to God and to His will, there is no way that I'll ever be poor. You have to accept that by faith. Because God kept Daniel rich in captivity. And he was in position in an ungodly government. Ooh, Jesus. Come on now. Jeremiah, they couldn't kill him even though they took him into captivity. He had this black brother that said, "Oh, king, this is wrong. This is wrong." I'm related to whoever that man was. "This is wrong. We should not be doing the prophet like this. You know, he's a man of God. He only spoke good, and this is not right." If I got any relative, that's one of them. I ain't claiming the rest of them nuts out there that's drinking and acting a fool and living. I'm not related to them. My relatives go all the way back there. And my DNA must have just jumped like popcorn all over the place, because my relatives in all parts of the world serving God. Hallelujah. That's the way I feel about it, man. I'm related to people that's related to the Lord. That's my family. Jesus said, "My brothers, my sisters, my mother, and everybody is those that hear the word of God and do it. Those are my relatives." Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Those are my relatives. Man, there's a lot in that scripture right there. Wow, there's a lot in there. Whew. Verse 28. "My life dissolves and weeps itself away for heaviness." Ever been there? Uh-huh. "Raise me up and strengthen me according to the promises of your word." Can you see how everything's keep reverting right back to the word? No matter what he goes through in his account of his life, it reverts right back. The word is the answer. The word of God is the answer. I don't care what we face and what we're going through. It's still the answer. So when you tell God to do that, guess what he does? And he has a special way of doing it for us, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. He brings up the word of God to us in our thoughts and in our minds, in our hearts. And we meditate upon it and we speak it out of our mouths. Hallelujah. And then verse 29, we'll try to close this in just a minute. "Remove from me the way of falsehood and unfaithfulness to you." Falsehood and unfaithfulness to the Lord. "And graciously impart your law to me." I tell you one thing, boy. You know how in English they taught you that the subject of whatever you're writing about is supposed to be in the first paragraph? Right? How you, and you can go in there, you can see that this is the subject of what we're going to be talking about. He sure did have a good English teacher. So he's staying with the subject, brother. Isn't he though? Is he not? He is not getting off course. See, a lot of believers talk so much out of their emotions, they can sound spiritual one minute and sound like they don't even know God the next. I mean, it can be so spiritual. Hallelujah! And then the next minute, almost cussing. I'm serious. See, that's why we can't live out of our emotions. We just can't do it. We've got to let the word of God take its rightful place in our life and have authority in our lives. Amen? Verse 30, "I have chosen the way of truth and faithfulness." Oh, so the falsehood and unfaithfulness, he said, now take that away from me. I don't want to be false to you. I do not want to be unfaithful to you. Take that away from me. I choose the way of truth. Come on, let's say it together. I choose the way of truth and faithfulness. Now that's how you get there. Forget about looking at yourself in the mirror and trying to figure out whether you're faithful to God or not. That's not a true answer. That's not a true exhibition of who you are when you look in the mirror. It's not really a true exhibition of who you are. What you need to do is just find yourself in the Word of God. And I just found you right there. You've chosen the way of truth and faithfulness. That's who you are. I found you. You found you right there in verse 30. So now the scripture has become a mirror according to the book of Romans, and you see yourself. Amen. Now you see yourself. It's just like the scripture said in the book of Romans. Now the word has become like a mirror and you see yourself. I have chosen the way of truth and faithfulness. Your ordinances have I set before me. What do I have to do? Set the ordinance of God before my eyes, in my ears, speak it out of my mouth. Set it before myself. Set it before myself. Set it before myself. Man, when I got this revelation, I start trying to figure out ways to do that. Some of you know that because I've tried to buy everything that I could record something on and stick it on my body and take it with me wherever I went. I used one of them today that I bought from Radio Shack several years ago. This will sound ancient now, but it uses micro cassettes. Who uses those anymore? And I recorded at least an hour of confessions and the word on that, just speaking out words of wisdom, scriptures, stuff about finances and money and all that kind of stuff. And I got a clip, glued it on the back of it, put it on my belt, took it to work until they wouldn't let me do it no more. And then I just take it, and wherever I am, when I can listen to it legally without anybody messing with me, I just turn it on. I did it today. I just went out on the back porch, laid down, and turned the thing on, listened to myself tell myself who I was. You ought to listen to yourself tell yourself who you is. And it's nice. I mean, it's just as good as listening to Fred Price, Kenneth Hagin, or Kenneth Copeland tell me who I am. You ought to hear yourself tell you who you are sometime. Amen. And then take up an offering and bless yourself. Hallelujah. You a good preacher. I'm going to bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. You can do it. You can do it. Praise God. Let's go to the blessing. Go to Psalm 67. Hallelujah. Isn't he good?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Psalm 67 and also Numbers 6 and 24. And let's receive the blessing of God's word tonight. Hallelujah. Just receive this as I bless you tonight as your pastor. God, be merciful and gracious to us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us and among us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power, your deliverances, and your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, turn away from their idols, and give thanks to you, O God. Let all the peoples praise and give thanks to you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples fairly and guide, lead, or drive the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, turn away from their idols, and give thanks to you, O God. Let the peoples praise and give thanks to you. The earth has yielded its harvest in evidence of your approval. God, even our own God, you will bless us. God bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall reverently fear you. The Lord bless you and watch, guard, and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you, and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. Lord, I thank you for these your people at Straight Paths and all of those who have identified with us via the internet with our broadcasts. And may your blessing rest upon them, and may you cause them to grow in their experience and become a living witness to all of those in their community, their family, their church, their workplace, wherever they may be. And we'll give you all the glory and all the praise for it tonight.
In the precious, wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior, Yeshua, our Jewish Messiah and soon coming King. And everybody gave him a rousing amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.